For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's pray together. Lord our God, teach us and lead us, that we might understand the meaning of these words, that you have made all things new, that you can take the human heart and make it new. And then, Lord, as we go out into this community for the rest of the week, help us to share this amazing news with the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, my childhood seemed normal to me, but I guess you could say that it was an unusual one, growing up and playing with body parts, as I did. Reason is, my dad was a doctor, and he brought things home. Now, mind you, they were plastic, like this one. But drug companies would bring these and give them to my dad as advertisements for various drugs. And he brought these home, and my brother and I were fascinated with this. I decided I would call Mark, my brother, yesterday and just see what he remembered about all of these things. And together, as we put our heads together, we remembered playing with hearts and kidneys and knees and, yes, even an eyeball. I think there was more as well. Did I say a brain? All of these kinds of things. And my brother is convinced that these models helped him to understand the intricacies and the beauty of the human body and turned on to him an awareness of what the human body is. And so he followed in my father's footsteps and became a doctor himself because of just being fascinated with the human body. Paul gives us a very fascinating way to look at the human body in this text when he says that we can be made new. He gives us a whole new way of looking at it. And the key verse for us there is verse 17, which many Christians commit to memory because it is so powerful. Verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." What is so new about being human? We've been on the planet for quite some time. These are ancient words. Is there really anything that is that new? I'm glad you asked the question. Let's see what the Apostle Paul has to say about this. I think we can extract three themes from this powerful text that show us just what Paul is talking about and what we have to celebrate this Easter season. And they are as follows, as listed in your bulletin. The work of sin has stopped, the weight of sin has been lifted, and the wealth of resurrection life is now ours. First of all, the work of sin has been stopped. One of the models that my brother and I played with was a human heart made out of plastic that you could pop open and see in there the various chambers and the muscles and that sort of a thing. It's a fascinating thing. About the size of your fist, it sits right in the center of your body and beats 100,000 times a day. It is an endurance muscle. And it pumps through your body 2,000 gallons of blood each day. If you had 2,000 gallons of blood, you would be as big as a swimming pool, okay? You only have about 1.5 gallons, but that blood goes over and over and over, circulating through your body, okay? Through 60,000 miles of blood vessels that are feeding your organs and tissues. The Bible talks about another kind of heart, too. The heart that is your spiritual heart. And that heart does a lot of work as well, doesn't it? You may have wrestled with that throughout your life. I know that I have, and that is the work of the conscience, right? There's just something about being a human that gives us the ability to know somehow that there are right things and there are wrong things out in the world. And we wrestle with that. We talk about being sick of the heart. Or heart sick. We talk about feeling guilty in my heart. It's not really there. As a matter of fact, the ancient Iranians believed that the liver was that center. Okay? Doesn't matter where it is, but somewhere inside of you there is that conscience, right? There is that work that you've been trying to do all your life in wrestling with the reality of sin. Now, I know there are a fair number of people out there in the world that wrestle with Christianity and whether it's real or not. To me, the one thing that we don't have to work too hard to prove is the reality of sin. It's just everywhere. Present company excluded? No, it's everywhere. Psychologists do tell us, though, it's much easier to find sin in someone else than it is in ourselves. That's one of the facts of being human too, isn't it? I get asked a lot, why are there so many religions in the world? There are a variety of reasons, but one is because of this work of the heart. Human cultures, humans around the world are trying to figure out how to live their lives, what's good and what's not so good, how to get to God, and they come up with a variety of ways. All of them to be respected, I think. You can't just dismiss what other cultures have come up with. It shows what it means to be human and what to wrestle with these issues and how people do that. However, there was a time in our history when a man came and he really shook things up. And his name was Jesus Christ, and people had been following him for years and years, and what he did is so radical and so different that I hesitate to even call it a religion. It is God's direct personal intervention in our lives. When he stepped into our lives and said, you know what? I'm going to do that work of sin for you, of taking care of that big problem. Look at verse 21 there, the very last one. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. So that in him we might become the righteousness, the goodness of God. What? Now that's new. When all the religions of the world say you have to pray 5 times a day, or you have to go to this temple, or you have to bow down to this statue. And here's one who says, God who says, I'll take care of that problem for you. I will pay the price of sin. That's new. And I think that just shows us that it comes from outside of ourselves and outside of our conceptions. This is God intervening in the world and taking care of this horrible problem for us. And it is the story of Good Friday, isn't it? This is what happened on Good Friday when God made his own son to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. This story has been celebrated for 2,000 years. We'll celebrate it again in just about a week or two, right? The Easter story and the Good Friday story. It was celebrated, though, thousands of years even before Jesus came. Listen to the prophet Isaiah who says, comfort Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, my people, and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed. The work day is over. It's Friday. The weekend is here. Say to her that her sin has been paid for. That's something new. New creation can come. For those who are in Jesus Christ, we can see that the work of sin has been lifted. But our God is like this, people, right? When he does something new, when he does something great, it's great beyond imagining. And so we're not going to stop with the work of sin being stopped. We're going to continue on and say that also the weight of sin has been lifted from us. That's another thing that we struggle with all our lives, right? It's using our muscles to lift weights. Any guess how many muscles you have in your body? We've talked about one, the heart. How many muscles do you think you have in your body?
207.
Huh?
207.
That's a good guess. You have 600, okay?
Oh, I thought you meant just face.
Oh, just face? Are you sure that there's that many in the face? Apparently, there are all 600 muscles in your body. The biggest one, excuse my indiscretion, is in your derriere. Okay? And the smallest one is in your ear. Okay? It is one of the muscles that controls your eardrum and helps you to hear. Okay? So, you have muscles, and another part that we try and do, another work that we do all our lives is trying to lift the weight of sin that is upon us. And many of us struggle for years doing that, don't we? I've even come across Christians that have struggled for years to know that that burden can be lifted. And in Christ it is. Look at verses 18 to 19 there. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. Thank you for that, Paul. Because these big words, reconciling, are kind of hard to understand, right? What does that mean? And he specifies it. God does not count your sins against you. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. So as far as he is concerned, and because of the work of Christ on the cross, he does not count your sins against you any longer. And that is truly good news. The work of sin has been radically dealt with in Jesus Christ. This is why we've been through 2 points so far, right? The work of sin and the weight of sin. This is why we have the two elements when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, which are bread and wine, okay? Bread representing the body of Christ, and the body of Christ has broken the power of sin over us as he was nailed to the cross. And the blood, which has cleansed the weight of sin upon us and sets us free. So we are celebrating those two things. Paul uses a big theological word there, reconciliation, and then specifies it, not counting people's sin against them. So that's a big theological word, but I bet you're involved in reconciling right now, aren't you? Now, spring is around the corner, but so is April 15th, right? So you've got to be doing some counting. You've got to be doing some reconciliation. What do I owe? And you don't owe anything as far as God is concerned. He's paid it all. As far as the government, I'm sorry to say, I can't say present company excluded. You may owe something. Okay? You are reconciling right now, taking your receipts, your W-2s, and all of that, and figuring out how to juggle this, how to reconcile what it is that you owe. Christ has paid what you owe, and you owe no more. You are healed from the work of sin and the weight of sin. That's good enough. Sermon done. We can be done right there, but there's one more point. Because again, like I said, when God does something new, when God does something great, it is great indeed, right? So the work of sin has been stopped, the weight of sin has been lifted, and the wealth of resurrection life is just poured into your body. It's just poured into you as soon as you are in Christ. When he stepped out of that tomb alive, it was for everyone. And that's what this passage says, if we can look at verse 15. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. That resurrection of Jesus Christ was for you. Just as the death is for you, so also the empty tomb is for you, and you are raised to new life in him. And elsewhere, Paul talks about Jesus being the firstborn from among the dead. He came out of the tomb first. You might be next. That's not a prophecy. That's just the reality, okay? Romans 6. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. I don't remember if my brother and I played with a model of the lung. I wouldn't be surprised. We had it all. We had it all, really. But your lungs are an amazing part of your body too, aren't they? Not the same size, the right arm, the right lung bigger than the left lung because you've got to squeeze the heart in there in between, right? And the lungs, being the only body organ in your body that will float, is because it's just filled with air, right? There's all kinds of air sacs in there, okay? If you were to take all those air sacs and open them up and spread them out flat, it would be almost the same size as a tennis court. You've got to bring that air in and exhale the air out, right? If you've ever had the breath knocked out of you, or what we call the wind knocked out of you, right? You know how scary that can be. If anybody ever held you under the water a little longer than they should have, that mean brother, right? Or mean sister. You know how scary that can be. That happened to me on the playground once as a young child. Somebody hit me and just knocked the wind right out of me, and I just couldn't breathe for a minute, and all my life was passing in front of my eyes. Like, I guess this is it, right? But then all of a sudden, the wind comes back. Imagine what it was like for Lazarus when he stepped out of the tomb. Jesus, giving a preview of the resurrection, said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus took in that breath of air. Can you imagine what it was like for Jesus when he stepped out of the tomb and took in that first breath of air for all of us? Breathe in the wealth of the resurrection life. It is for you. That's what Jesus has said. You can start living that new life today if you are in Christ Jesus. In my studies this week, I was told that actually the body needs to get rid of CO2 more than it needs oxygen. We need less oxygen than we need to get rid of the CO2. And I hope this Easter season that you will be blessed spiritually and that you will get rid of a few things, shed a few things, and just take in the wealth of the resurrection life that is yours. Happy Easter to you all. I long for our congregation to see the wealth and the riches that we have in Jesus Christ. See all the new things that God can do for us. Funny thing is, we're dealing with some ancient words here. These words of Paul are about 2,000 years old. The cross, the empty tomb, happened 2,000 years ago. And Paul is taking us back to the very early days of creation even, saying you're a new creation in Christ. He's taking us back even further than that. And then he says here in this text, God has given us the message of reconciliation. We need to take this back out into the community. So will you join me in doing that this week as God gives you opportunities? You don't have to use big fancy words like ministry or reconciliation like that. But I know that you can find somebody out there who is still working under the penalty of sin. That's just what humans do. There are people out there that are just trying to be good, trying to get closer to God. I know that you know there are people out there that are struggling under the weight of sin. They can see them almost pushed down by what they've done, by their past. that burden can be lifted as well. And goodness knows there are people out there that, if they are in Jesus, can discover that they can be a new person, that they can have a new start. I can think of people right now that I wish they would have this new start and could say, with Paul here, even though it was said 2,000 years ago, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. As of Easter morning, the old has gone and the new is here. I invite you to consider Jesus Christ if you've never thought of Him before and your relationship to Him. I put a verse on the very back of your hymnal where Jesus Himself in the book of Revelation says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears that knocking and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Jesus wants to live with you. That's amazing grace, people. And I want us to conclude with that. I think this is an amazing grace kind of a time of the year. An amazing grace kind of a sermon. So I have taken the liberty to change that last hymn. It is not as printed. We're going to sing 299. In the blue hymnal, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Blind, but now I see. God, give you the eyes to see the new life that He has for you." Let's stand and sing this song.